Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 419. I'm Chris Adams, Tech and Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, today we've got some What You've Been Playing, a middle segment about can you enjoy the creations from terrible people or some approximation of that?
Mark, and then separating the art from the artist, it's so much easier to say than whatever it is you just did.
I mean, but what if they're not making art and they're like a cook?
Oh my goodness, we're not doing this right now.
Or do, you know, this food counts as work of art, even though, like, you know, it's just like a temporary thing. You're going to eat it and it's gone and then poop it out or pee it out, you know, and then, you know, maybe it gets like back into the thing and like, yeah, somehow. What the
hell is wrong? Why did you say pee it out?
Because if it's a liquid tropical or it's like, you know, there's liquids in it, that's how liquids work, dude. They don't poop out of you. Or I guess they could if you have like diarrhea or something.
Oh gosh, stop it. Just stop it. Everything you're doing right now, just stop it.
So yeah, we've been playing this week.
Yeah. What have you been playing this week?
Besides the usual suspects of Monster Hunter World, the weekly thingies. This week is Extreme Behemoth, but I haven't gotten around to killing it with my sweet build, so have not got the layered armor for that yet. Oh, I did get the Dante layered armor from the Archtempered Tiestra when it was around, so haha. Curse of Sport, still doing that every day, even though I missed a day because my job is like, you know, hey, guess what? You're gonna be working on like a long time today and then get home and be super tired and miss a day. It's like, oh, I missed a day, whatever. They put out the monthly update. They added some cars, nothing too spectacular, so whatever. I haven't really checked it out, so but the main game I've been playing, I finally got to extensively dive into Red Dead Redemption 2. I gotta say, I was not enjoying it as much as I wanted to, as much as I thought I would. Well, I guess that's kind of similar, because I just felt it was very big, boring, and empty. Like, I unlocked fast travel, and then I couldn't figure out like how to get it, but I only just now unlocked it, like right before Chapter 3. And I'm still kind of confused on like how to like do it, so I have to like look it up. But I don't know, man. It's like, usually in open world games, I do not mind the going from, you know, point A to point B in a giant open world. But in this one, it feels like you do it so much, but like nothing in between happens really. I mean, stuff does happen because it's like Red Dead, so it's like you'll inevitably like happen upon something happening where you can like intervene and stuff like that, but I just felt it wasn't as nuanced as I was hoping it would be compared to like the previous game. It's kind of just like the same stuff of like people getting robbed or people in danger, or you like to find the stranger weirdos and like you have some side thing with them, but just like the main thrust of the story and the characters just so far. It's just like, okay, well, feels like a prequel, and then like I got to a part where it's like, oh, I can see where this is going, and just, I guess that's also it, is like ever since that like was announced that it was a prequel, I just kind of like down on it and like not, I knew I was going to play it, but I was like, I'm probably not going to enjoy it as much, and I'm not, but because it has like a similar theme from like the first one where it's like, you know, the Age of Outlaws is over, blah, 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 but this takes place before that, so you can see kind of more of that as far as the outlaws and gangsters and gunslingers and like them, you know, becoming not really like a viable lifestyle in the Old West. And but it doesn't really, yeah, like it doesn't, it's like missing that aspect as far as like, since it wasn't as advanced as like the game after it, it doesn't feel like it's like you're in any like unconquered or uninhabited like areas where it's like, oh, this is man's last stand in the West, or here in the frontier, in the out here in these parts or something. It's just like, oh, it's the 1800s, end of the century, whatever. It's like, I don't know, just didn't really feel like they'd really pushed that like they could have. And then all the characters are cool, but it's just like, I don't know, the story is just not as, it's not as in, as mesmerizing and engrossing as I was hoping it would be, and like capturing me like it did the first time around. So it is just more of a similar thing where it's like you just have a gang of criminals, you go from town to town, try to outlast the law. You're like in a kind of a bind, trying to get out of it, and stuff goes down, and you're just trying to lay low, see what happens. And I mean, it's pretty much, yeah, a lot of similar beats, in my opinion, to the first game. And I'm playing it, I'm like, I don't know why people were so, like, enamored with it to give it, like, so many rewards. I think, honestly, where I'm at, might get better, but, like, honestly, I just feel like it's, like, overrated right now from, like, what I've played so far. I'm just like, I don't see why people were, like, gushing all over this game and just, like, giving it tins and, like, game of the year and just all these other awards I won at the end of the year last year. So, not to say it's a bad game, it's just, like, you know, not the 11 out of 10 that it was, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, but you played it after all of this stuff, so I mean, after all of those, like, accolades and stuff, so maybe you just had really high expectations going in.
Well, I already had high expectations, though, because it was like, Red Dead Redemption is like one of my favorite games of all time. It's like one of my top fives. And so, like, I mean, that's the thing, is like, I wanted another one, but then, like, the way they did it, I think just kind of, I knew, like, going in, I kind of somewhat tempered my expectations, but still had high expectations, and, like, they're kind of just, I mean, it's kind of just more of the same. I don't feel like a GTA 5-esque, like, feeling of when I played that one, I was like, oh man, this is the best GTA ever. I mean, that being said, like, all the, like, the minutiae of the gameplay, as far as, like, the underlying mechanics and stuff, are, like, more, there's more to do there, but it's, like, I feel like it's just there to put stuff into all the areas of the game where it's hollowed out. Like, you have more hunting challenges, you know, more gambling challenges, or just challenges in general. So there's all this stuff, like, there's, like, more stuff to do in the open world for sure, and, like, all that stuff, but it's, like, I'm not here for the side stuff, I'm here for the main course. So it's like, yeah, I can go get lost in the wilderness, hunt animals, you know, craft stuff, get better gear, blah, blah, blah. It's like, but that was in the first game, so it's like, eh. I mean, I'm glad it's there, and it gets better, but that being said, it's not, like, revolutionary of, like, oh, this is so good. And in my opinion, it's also, like, kind of too, some systems are, like, kind of too complex for their own good. Like, you have so many meters in this game, and, like things to read on the HUD to, like, manage the levels of, like, your horse's health, your horse's stamina, your health, and, like, the way that they, like, are displayed is, like, you're take care of your core, because, like, you have core health on everything, and, like, core stamina. It's like, when your outer bars are empty, then your core goes down, and if your core goes down, you have to sleep, eat, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, I didn't ask for this to be more complex and more stuff added on. You had a good working system of just, like, bars and things, of, like, meters. You didn't have to, like, do all this stuff to fudge it all up and make it, I mean, it's not worse, it's just, I guess, maybe, like, okay, I'm not gonna say it's worse, but it's just, like, more complex, and it's just, like, I feel like they didn't have to, like, add complexity just to make it better, or, like, it was good the way it was, like, they didn't have to add on top of, like, what was already working, and, like, what was already a good system, but here we are, just couldn't help themselves, and it's just, like, up the wazoo of, like, all this stuff and crap, but yeah, whatever. So I don't know. I was just surprised that, like, I did not gravitate to the loving of this game like I was expecting to. So that's my takeaway from this so far. I'm in chapter 3. We'll see if it gets better. Probably won't. So, but I mean, by no means it's a bad game. It's just I'm not head over heels like I was when I played the first one, and I'm not just, like, amazed from when I played GTA 5. I'm like, oh man, this is, like, the best version of all the things that they've done in this. So. That, I mean, it was a pretty game, but it's, like, obviously it's, you know, been in development for, like, ever, so, but, I mean, also, like, the, yeah, like, then, like, and, like, on top, like, the, like, go, to go back to, like, the whole, like, mechanics, or, like, the crazy, like, stuff that they've, like, added on to make it, like, too ridiculous, my horse died, and it was, like, a super awesome horse, and, like, you have to, like, raise your horse from, like, level 0 to, like, awesome, and it's, like, dude, once your horse dies, it's just, like, dude, really, like, that is, like, so much progress in-game that you cannot get back to, like, just have, like, a horse that is, like, awesome. You can't just, like, walk in and, like, buy one. I mean, maybe you can, like, steal one, but I don't steal horses because I'm a good person. I'm a paragon, so it's not going to do that. But it's, like, after that happened, I was, like, dude, I lost my horse. It's, like, luckily I had, like, a backup horse that, like, was kind of awesome, too. So it's, like, you know. So now I'm, like, just, like, I have, like, an awesome horse, but I put it in the stable so it can, like, just stay there until I need it. And then, like, I have a crappy horse, so I'm trying to get back to being awesome, so I can have two awesome horses again. So in case when something bad happens to, like, the crappy horse, I still got the awesome horse. So at least there's that. But
it's not very nice.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know, it's like the Deadeye system is very similar, so kind of, you, like, get more advanced versions of it the farther in you get into the game. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about this game. It's just not in love with it like I was hoping I would be. And then it's weird, actually, because, like, you don't have the... You still have, like, the wildlife and, like, all that stuff, but I don't feel like it's as aggressive as in the first game. Like, in the first game, I did not feel safe at all. In this one, it's very rare to, like, just be attacked by any of the wildlife. Like, they'll spook your horse, but it's very easy to just, like, you know, fix that problem. You can just push, like, L3, and then it'll, like, calm your horse down and stuff. They put in, like, a lot of stuff with the horse as far as, like, you know, your... It's weird. Like, if you're out in the
stuff is on it.
Yeah. Like, if you're out in the game and you don't get back to camp or, like, you don't sleep or whatever, and, like, your horse is losing stamina, you can, like, just stop and feed it or pet it, or not pet it, but, like, brush it. But it kind of looks like you're petting it. So it's like, whatever. So, I mean, I guess in that regard, they did, like, do a better job of, like, building that bond between you and your horse, and you can, like, name it. But then the name doesn't really matter because you never really see it displayed. And it can die on you and you can't get it back. So it's like, what the F, dude? Like, come on, man. Like, I guess in that regard, it's back to me, because I did feel like a bit of sorrow when I lost my horse. I was like, what? No! My horse, no! And yeah, so. But, yeah, it's neat seeing John Marston before he was John Marston, and all the stuff he went through before he was in Red Dead 1, and the whole thing with the gang, and all the whole how stuff is going down and building up. And, like, the, oh, that's the problems that they were in before all that stuff happened in the first game, and, like, what they are referencing and all that stuff. So that's neat, but, like, I would have preferred just a different cast and a different, like, story and setting and stuff. But, eh, whatever. You gotta get what you can take, or gotta take what you get, so. I'm not gonna be playing the online mode, so it's, like, I can really care less about that. So it's, like, once I'm done with the story, it's, like, guess we'll see. But, yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2. That's kind of all I've been playing. So, like I said, Monster Hunter, Great System of Sport. Yeah. Besides that, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like, my whole goal for this month is just to finish this game before Days Gone comes out. But then the whole Borderlands remaster thing happened, and now I'm like, dang it, I want to go revisit Pandora. So now I'm like, I think I'll just play through Days Gone when that comes out if I'm done with Red Dead by then, and then I'll come back to Borderlands and, like, play through all of them in order. And then, I don't know what you two are doing, but I'm totally going to get the remaster, and maybe we can have some aimless shenanigans, and it'll be a fun time. But
get the band back together.
Yeah, band back together. But Red Dead Redemption 2, that's all I've been playing.
Brick Punch. Brick.
oh my.
Brick is mine. Brick is mine. That's right, right? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, Red Dead... The review said it was really slow to start. And...
Oh, that too, dude. It takes a while to get going.
Yeah.
And, but, like, I mean, once it gets going, it's like good, but it's not like, oh, that, so good. You know, not. It's...
It kind of reminds me of my experience with Oblivion, the Elder Scrolls, where it starts and there's some cool stuff. And then it's like, all right, go out into the world. And yeah, really Red Dead, the second chapter is like, okay, we're here, just go out and yeah, live as a cowboy. It's like, oh, okay. And you just kind of do whatever. But apparently, like, the ending is really good, so I guess we'll see. So I think I finished the Division 2's campaign. The bug that I was stuck with is still there, but I guess it's not consequential, unless it is, like, because, you know, I didn't look for spoilers to find out what the ending was. I just, like, played all the main missions that I could, and I guess the story is not satisfying as the first one was. The first one's ending, it felt like, oh, you know, this was like, an ending, like there was a big bad kind of that we were going after, and then we did that and yay, we rejoice. But it doesn't feel like it's like the end, because it's supposed to be, you know, a game that you continue playing. So while it had this ending, it also felt like they left room for you to continue to exist in the world and not be not to have just like this abrupt, okay, this is the ending, now grind. it just felt like, oh, it was very natural feeling. This one, I guess the whole thing was, you know, the whole reason you're in DC is maybe less exciting as a story. So the ending is just like, oh, you did the thing. Yay. And then that was it. I was like, wait, what? Was that the ending?
Did credits roll tactical?
No, they did. But they didn't roll. Did they roll in the first one? I don't think they rolled in the first one either. It was just like, oh, you did the thing. And then and I'm just like, so that's the end, right? I finished everything? Because there's no more like main objectives on the map. So I'm like, except for the glitched thing. So maybe if they fix the glitch, then there'll be more stuff. But so far, it's like, that kind of seemed like an ending. I mean, it was sort of not anticlimactic, but it was not climactic. And I was just like, okay, I guess it's done. I guess I'm done Division 2, which is what I set out to achieve. So now it's time to go play the ninja game. And then I messed up and played Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm, which is also a ninja game, but not the one that I was thinking. I don't know what happened. I was looking at my PS4 and it's got something like 200 games installed on it.
Oh my.
And I was like, oh, this is ridiculous, right? This is ridiculous. I'm going to go look what was like some of the first stuff I installed on this one. And one of them was Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. And I was just like, oh, that should be pretty short, right? So I'll just play through that one. And totally forgot all the other gaming stuff I wanted to do. So I start playing that. And I played through the entire story, but it took way longer than I thought it would. Because the cutscenes are quite long. Like midway through, I noticed at the bottom, every time you select a mission, or a chapter, essentially, it tells you the average like played length that it's going to take. And some of them are like, oh, 6 minutes, 5 minutes. And then there are others that were like 40 minutes, 44 minutes. It's like, that's longer than an episode. And you sit there and yeah, you would literally like watch maybe 35 minutes of stuff. And then there'd be like a little battle in the middle. And yeah, it was just like, it took a lot of time. I kept thinking, oh, I'm almost there. It says, you know, I'm at 70% done. And then it's like, oh, I unlocked the final group of chapters. And then it was like, the first one's like, oh, it's a 40 minute one. It's like, oh, great. And I watched through it and played a little bit and then watched the end and then. And the next one was also a really long one. It's like the last ones were all really long. It basically covers the like last part of the series, which apparently was just like one battle against two. It was sort of like I guess I would describe it's kind of like Dragon Ball Z back in the day, where it seemed like it was taking a long time because it's the same two characters, is like the same protagonist and antagonist, except they keep changing forms. And then you just like keep fighting and they keep changing forms and you keep fighting. And I was like, wow, the ending is just like, it's all basically the one fight. No one has gone home. Everyone is still here. And they're just like, this is the one fight. And yeah, it was very long. And I feel like probably the third game, either the second game or the third game, was the best. Because they were, I can't remember which one it was, but it was like the first one to introduce these sort of giant battles. So in Ultimate Ninja Storm, there's like the regular battles, which are just, you know, one-on-one. Or it's basically 3-on-3. In sort of like an arena, and you're running around and doing all the ninja stuff. But then in the story mode of either 2 or 3, can't remember, they introduce like these giant fights where there would be like, maybe you were, you know, just a ninja person and you were fighting like a giant summoned monster or something like that.
Oh yeah. I remember that in one of the demos.
Yeah. It was so cool. There was like also parts where both of you were on giant summon monsters, and then, you know, there's the crazy sort of quick time event cutscenes that were super cool. And yeah, like all of that stuff was really awesome in whichever previous sequel it was that they did that. The fourth one has that too, but it just feels like too much, maybe?
Everything was a giant battle.
Yeah,
everything.
At the end it was just like, oh, it's another giant battle. Oh, it's another giant battle. And you're just not, the giant battles are not as quick, I guess. Because they're just trying to communicate like, oh, these are giants. So they're not running around as fast as when you're playing as the ninja people. And so it's just like everything feels slower. It's like feels sluggish. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's just like so many, and they were cool.
You have sacrificed speed for power.
So much speed. You also have like less moves when you're on a giant thing. So it just felt like, well, plus there was just so many of them. It's like everything is like, yeah, as I said, it kept escalating, and then so you just have bigger and bigger things going on, but then yeah, how to describe? I guess once you've seen one giant thing, you know, it's hard to top. There's like diminishing returns on giant battles.
Something has to be more gianter than the last.
Yeah. And by the end, there's parts where you're flying and it's basically a shooter and you're fighting. It has that like Panzer Dragoon thing where you can, or like Rez, where you can hold down the button and like target a whole bunch of stuff and then shoot out a whole bunch of things. And yeah, it was insanely over the top, but maybe too much because you got kind of numb to it.
I don't know, Tropical. I don't know if you can ever be too over the top. Two over 9,000.
It's just like once you've done one over the top thing in a certain way, the more you do it, like it feels less and less over the top as you've seen. It's like, well, you know, you go over the top one time and then you gotta make a new top. And then you gotta surpass that top.
I guess.
I guess you have a point. It's like the baseline never goes up.
Yeah. They kept sort of the baseline around where it was, and then they just kept like escalating. They went up to a top, and then they kept going to the same top, essentially. So yeah, although I hadn't seen the story at the end, it must have been, God, like 60, 70 episodes. Just like this one fight in the series. I don't know if that's true. That may be an exaggeration, but...
Well, it depends on which... Are you talking about for Shippuden or the original? Because Shippuden. The last arc in that one really is really long.
It was so crazy.
Because, like, one thing happens and then the first big bad reveals their selves, and then all of Hokages fight said person, and then everything is going on at the war, and then that person goes over there, and then it turns out somebody else is the big bad after multiple things. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the big bad changed like four times, I think.
Yes. And like, then eventually the true big bad happens, and then everybody releases their ultimate forms, and it's yeah. Yeah. So it's probably very accurate.
It was probably like really faithful. Although, oh man, like effects work. The people who, like CyberConnects does really cool anime effects work. So those scenes that you've probably seen in the trailers and stuff, because like that's what you play these games for, like they look ridiculously amazing. And no one else is really doing that kind of art style in a 3D game. So you see it as like, this is amazing. I have no idea how they're doing this. It is very, very cool. Yeah. So anyway, I finished that one after many hours. And then
I don't know, Trump Nicole, you're like, on the one hand, this game was over the top and it looked incredible, but it got old. But you're like, yeah, whatever.
It may have been because, you know, occasionally I get into this mode where it's just like, I just wanted to be done.
It's like, is this episode over yet? It's not. It's not.
Because
he still has to reveal his other form.
Just the way that the game was structured and how it unveiled new stuff. So, like, in the beginning, it shows there's just sort of a little group of dots connected by lines. And that's like, oh, each dot is like a chapter of the story or a part of a chapter of a story. And then, you know, you can play them linearly. And they had it like the first part is actually divergent because there's like two characters who have to, you know, come to the big realization on their own. And so it's like separate in the beginning. It's like divergent plot lines that come back together. And that's all you see in the beginning. So it looks like, oh, there's like 8 or 9 of them maybe. And so you don't really know how long the game is. You're just like playing and finish each one. It's like, okay, you know, the story's engrossing and whatnot. And then it unlocks after you finish the last one, it shows like the next little section. And so you, because I was trying to finish the game, I'm looking at it, it's like, all right, so it maybe covers half, these two cover like half the screen. So maybe there's just like 4 chapters for this. And it's like, but you don't know. And once it like reveals them, it's not necessarily, oh, it's just like a few dots here. It may be like many dots on multiple different lines that you have to play. It's like, oh, so this chapter, even though it seems like it takes them out the same amount of screen space, this actually has a lot more dots. And you're just like, well, that is just more that I have to go through before I can get to the end. And yeah,
like, I guess that's cool. I don't remember you ever being in a mode when you're like, I just gotta get to the end of this game. This is new to me.
It doesn't happen to me a lot. I guess I was like recently with the Division 2, I was like that too. I was just like, at one point, I decided I was just gonna finish it, and I tried to go to each of the main missions, but I could not get there because the enemies are pretty tough. Even just like on the way there, sometimes I would die. And if you die not in a mission, then you have to select a respawn point at one of the safe houses. And there's not always a safe. You don't usually die near a safe house. So you gotta, you know, you'll be thrown back like 400 or 500 meters. And then so you have to like go through all of that again. And so ended up like, okay, I have to slow down and level up and do side missions and stuff so I can get XP to level up, which I did. Like, I guess at some point, Division 2, same with Division 1, you reach a certain level where your abilities, like at some point, it just becomes easier for some reason. You're like running up this hill and then...
And oh, I can't suddenly... wait for you to get to that point in Sekiro, ..
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll get smart. Maybe I'll get good in the middle.
Oh, dear.
Mount get good. I will enjoy watching you climb it.
Yeah, the Division, like, it does. You hit a point where it's just like, suddenly... in the beginning, like, I wouldn't solo missions. Like, it was just very hard and just frustrating. So I would always random matchmake. But by the, I was like level 24 or something. It just, I was able to solo missions. I was like, oh, I don't need to matchmake anymore. I'm just going to go in there and do this myself. And it worked. And I did that for the last like 5 or 6 missions. And I'm like, yeah, great. But yeah, before I get to that point, both Division games, it happened to me where I was just, I wanted to finish it. I tried to rush and the game would like chew me up and spit me back out. It's like, no, you can't. You gotta go back and do all the missions. Yeah, the first time I can remember doing that was Onimusha 3. For some reason, I don't remember why.
Oh, dear. You killed Tekken. Good job.
It's funny because it's like... It's like Chronicle gives an example, and then you're like, it all happened back in Nobody pushes 3 decades ago on the PS2. Timely reference.
I
Are you okay?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, as I said, like, it doesn't happen. I don't do that a lot. That's the time I remember. Like, that's why over the years I've had opportunities to be like, oh, do you want to review this game? I'm like, no, I don't want to review any games because people expect you to finish games before you review them. And it's just too painful.
I don't think I want to do that
anymore. Onimusha, I forget why, but just near the end of Onimusha 3, because I was trying to write a review at the time. And I was like, no, why doesn't this game end? It just continues and you feel like you're at the end, but no, it's not the end. And it just kept going on. I was like, I just want it to be done. And yeah, I finished it, wrote that review, and I was like, nope, I'm never doing that. Anyways, a little bit of history there.
I don't know what just happens, but yeah.
I got Punchline in the mail from a rental. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I did have this in my queue way back in the day. I looked recently. It's just like a whole bunch of anime style games that I knew nothing about. And so Punchline is it's like a visual novel cross between, there was that game on the DS, I think, called Ghost Trick from Capcom.
I love that game.
It's like I think probably a worse version of Ghost Trick.
Well, this took a turn.
Though I'm not really sure yet, because like the visual novel part means that there are extended periods of time when you're just reading. Or, oh, it's voiced. Ooh. And I understand it, so I can hear it. Or listen. Yay. To it, but I don't have to. It's just like a lot of talking. The premise is, so you're this guy who for some reason, when he gets excited,
he falls out of his body.
Well, yeah, so the first time he gets excited, he gains like superhuman abilities. Like, he basically becomes they describe it as like he gains like peak power of some sort. And then, yeah, he's like really strong. But then, because he's at this peak level, if he gets excited a second time immediately afterwards, then the world ends.
What?
It has not really been explained why exactly that is the case. I'm only in like chapter 2 or 3, probably.
It's because when he overflows the power, he explodes the planet.
That's what I remembered from the show, but that's not what happens. He, like, well, if he gets excited twice, then there's like an asteroid in space that falls down on the Earth and destroys it.
Oh. If you have so much power, why can't you just like block it or something?
Well, no, maybe like he draws it to him or something.
It makes no sense. So like, it starts off, he's on a bus, and this this superhero, like, it gets hijacked, and the superhero girl comes on the bus and like takes on the hijackers, but then she gets like
a rip in her clothes.
Like, one of them gets the jump on her, and so she's about to die. And then this guy's like, oh no, what am I gonna do? And then he sees someone's panties. It's just like random person on the bus. And then he like turns into Super Saiyan mode and is like, what the heck just happened? And he like takes out the hijacker, and then, you know, that situation is all good. And later, like, the superhero girl like finds him, and then he sees her panties, and like his soul jumps out of his body, and then someone takes possession of his body. And so like he wakes up later in spirit form, and he's just like, what the heck happened? Why am I in a spirit now? And there's like a spirit cat or something that explains it to him and tells him, like, yeah, like someone took your body. And so you got to find this book And it'll tell you how to get your body back. And then...
Because reading is power.
Yes, I guess so. That part isn't explained yet either. And it's just like, yeah, so you got to go around your apartment building and find this book. And since you're a spirit, like, you can go through walls and stuff. So finally, you know, after all this explanation and just strange happenings going on, you find out what the game is. And the game is like, it's like Ghost Trick Lite so far. So the cat explains to you, oh, you can't interact really with the physical world because your spirit level is too low. To get more spirit power, you got to scare people. It's like, why do you think ghosts scare people? It's because they're trying to get soul fragments from those people. And collecting soul fragments levels up your spirit power, and then you can interact with bigger and bigger things. It's like, oh. And so you go around, and you're just like trying to, at this level, like, I can only knock things over, essentially. So you're just like knocking over random things in rooms to like frighten people. You're
basically a glorified cat.
Pretty much. I wonder if that turns into one of the plot points, because the character that teaches you how to do this is a cat.
Oh. Well then.
But yeah, so like you do that, and then essentially like the puzzle part, and it hasn't really been a puzzle part yet. It felt more like a tutorial, but like the trick later is to interact with different things in different rooms to sort of set up a chain of events that will get the people in those rooms to do the things that you need them to do. So in the beginning, it was like, oh, you need this one girl to find a key, but the key happens to be in someone else's room. So you got to somehow get this first girl to go to the other girl's room and find the key.
So this does kind of sound like Ghost Trick.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, except so far it's like, there are four things to interact with, and you have four turns, essentially. You can only interact with four things. Like, well, I guess the solution is to interact with all of them. Yeah, so far it's just been really silly. So the panties part comes in, because you can go through walls and stuff. You will occasionally run into situations where it's just like, oh no, panties, and then, that is bad, because
it happens all the time.
Again, if you see them twice in a row and you fill up this meter, then the world ends. Because you are a spirit, the rules in this world are that spirits don't really exist in normal time, so after the world ends, you can go back and like fix things and do it differently, or not look at the panties, essentially.
Interesting. It's also weird. Similar to Ghost Trick.
Yeah. Because when I started playing it, it was like, oh, it is a lot of visual novel. And I saw the first episode of the anime. So when I realized like what the game was about, I was like, oh, this is, I don't know which one came first. If the anime came first, which is possible because there's a lot of scenes from the anime in the game, then the game is a pretty clever adaptation of that premise from the anime. In the anime, and I guess I only saw one episode, but like the world ended a lot.
Because he kept seeing panties. Yeah,
he kept getting excited. And then, so for the game, it's like, to have that as like the game over state, like, this is pretty clever, because you know that if there's an opportunity in many Japanese games, like, people are gonna try to find a way to see panties. Like, that's panties, just man. What they want to do.
Dropping panties.
This game is like set up in such a way that you can, but it is a bad idea. With like in-game consequences. But yes, it is mostly very strange. I think I'm only up to chapter 3. So far the sort of Ghost Trick-esque puzzles have been very simple. And I don't know if it's going to get more complicated or if it's just going to be like this and it's mostly just visual novel. No idea.
Although Ghost Trick wasn't a visual novel, though.
Right. It was just like the puzzle parts of Punchline.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played Punchline, so I don't know, but
it's Ghost like
Trick was awesome.
Better. Punchline is like worse Ghost Trick so far, plus a visual novel.
Wonderful. So basically what you're saying is you're just better off watching the anime if you're interested in this particular series.
Maybe. I'm wondering if the game is going to take like a really dark turn.
Did the anime take a dark turn? It's about a guy watching panties.
Because I only saw the first one. But there's parts in the game so far that I don't remember seeing in anime where there's like, in the beginning, it's like two girls kneeling over a grave and they're talking about, oh, what happens when people die? And it's the creepiness factor of like how like all the Dead Space trailers had nursery rhyme songs. It's like that sort of vibe.
Oh.
Where they're talking about death in a really cute way, but also it's two little girls talking about death. So yeah, there's some sort of like mysterious stuff. Apparently the hijackers they're part of this cult that believes that the U.S. government is hiding the fact that an asteroid is about to destroy the Earth. And, you know, promising a lot of other people that they'll be able to survive in their bunkers as long as they perpetuate the myth that everything is fine. But yeah, that's all I really know about that plot point so far.
I wonder if it's just that he is like, when if he sees it the second time, he's too overwhelmed to stop the asteroid from hitting Earth. So maybe that's why it ends.
So he's just like he's constantly in the state of keeping. It's like your Kingdom Hearts anticipation, keeping the timeline
basically, yes.
Going. Maybe
like some kind of weird mini butterfly effect type thing going on.
Desire sensor.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not the same. Yeah, so those three. I played a little bit of Drive Club because there was some news about that this week that we'll get to. Still a very pretty racing game. Still very difficult. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing.
Wonderful. Well, I've been playing Tekken's favorite game, the wonderful Sekiro. I now have actually started doing stuff since last week, so I have moved beyond my hoarding of my skill points and whatnot, and actually bought skills and everything, so I can actually, you know, play the game, so I can not be doing the same thing over and over again. So I beat like four bosses in a row, and then started to move throughout the levels and stuff, because after a certain point when you after you fight the like that bull thing they showed in the trailer, the game kind of like opens up a bit, like kind of like the Dark Souls games do, where you have like different paths to go through. So then there's like different levels and everything available to you. So I've pretty much been kind of like going around to the different areas and kind of just, you know, doing stuff. But it's been a fun ride so far with all the ninja murder and inability to stealth stuff, but it's fine because I don't need to be stealthy if everything is dead. That's pretty much how that goes. So I think I got most of the ninja tools now too, so I started upgrading those as well. So now I have some of them that have different like effects and stuff. Like the firecracker can do like an area of effect type deal where it like hits everything around you, and then there's like the flamethrower one where you can shoot like a big blast of fire kind of thing. So there's that stuff going on as well. So it's been interesting. It's been interesting to say the least. But the guy I work with told me that I need to go fight that one guy, but I haven't done it because no one tells me how to play my games. So that's pretty much how that's been going so far. And then, yeah, that's more or less it, because I haven't really played anything else, because that's the only thing that's been out. So, yeah.
Someday I will play it too.
No, you won't, Tropical. No, you won't.
I will. I'm okay with opening games. Finishing them is the hard part.
You're going to open it. You're going to get to, like, the first samurai and be like, yeah, I'm done. and then you'll never see anything again.
I did forget one thing on Reddit. I did after all the like, I really wish this was in this game and it wasn't. There are multiple, not just one, train jobs in Red Dead 2, and I was like, oh yeah, train job. So I did enjoy finally getting some train job action. That was nice. Wow.
What kind of train was it taking?
A locomotive or something. Or whatever they used back then. Coal powered those things.
Is that what they're calling
it? They go chicka 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 chicka. I don't know. I guess whatever.
Oh my. How much power was in that train?
I don't know. I'm not from the 1800s. No, what? Why would I lick a train?
What? What happened? What's going on?
You asked me if I licked it.
Said if you liked it.
Oh.
Why would you lick a train?
I'm pretty sure you said if I licked it.
Why would I say that? That's weird. Don't be weird.
But I did like the train job, yes. I'm pretty sure you said lick.
I didn't. Stop being weird.
I think you're lying.
Why would I lie about that?
Because you're weird.
Says the guy who's talking about licking trains. I'm the weird one.
Yeah, it's okay. Not like you said lick to your tropical. You know, you're also here. You have ears.
You have ears. Yes, he does.
I'm not ears that sure work anymore.
So I guess we can move on to the whole middle segment thing.
Yes, we can. I don't know if this happened in the old days, but recently.
Old days.
I can't remember it did, but I also didn't pay attention to much stuff as a kid. Maybe a few months ago, we talked about on this podcast about this weird case of Randy Pitchford, head of Gearbox, being sued and countersuing this other guy who used to work for Gearbox or with Gearbox. And there was like weird, very strange facts coming out of that case. One of them was that Randy Pitchford had like underage pornography on a company flash drive that he left at a bar or something. And then you would think, well, you know, allegations, so we don't know if that's true. But apparently, like, he talked about it on a Magic podcast one time.
It's a weird story.
It's a very weird story. And, you know, there are, like, there's just, like, boycotts going on all the time now on social media for various whatever you can think of. I'm not really.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Captain Marvel when you said that.
It's yes. Like,
that really worked, guys. Really worked on that one. $1 billion.
The point is, like, I don't know how to be in this world.
Did you just say you don't know how to be in this world, Tropical?
That's what he said.
Yes, that is what I said.
This is your life now.
The middle segment is basically about, yes, RPGs. Can you separate the artist from the art?
The R. Kelly story. Is it?
They could call it that. They could call it that. We should get some money if they do. No, probably someone has used it before. Yeah, like that's the question. Is it okay to like things from bad people?
I mean, yeah. Like, why? Well, my answer is yes, but then I will also ask a question as far as, like, why couldn't you like something from someone that's a bad person?
Why can't you like it?
Or, like, why wouldn't you be able to?
Well, so the one I go to is like, and this is, you know, not related to games, but sort it's related to the topic. Chick-fil-A. I've heard Chick-fil-A is good in that, like, it is good. It tastes good. Like, people like it. They like the product. But then the company has, they have, like, yeah, they have questionable practices. Policy. Or not policies, really. So, if that's too vague, like, basically, they fund anti, like, LGBT organizations with their money. And when it came out many years ago, like at the time, those there are some of those organizations are like foreign organizations that actually go out and like cause the deaths of these people.
What?
through various ways. And so, you know, that's just like, well, that seems wrong. And because they can, you know, donate however much money they want, how can you be sure that the money that you spend on their chicken isn't 100% going to fund something that you don't want it to go fund? In the past few years, they've said, oh, yeah, no, we're better now. We don't discriminate against anyone. But their foundation, like, does? So I guess technically the company doesn't, but the Chick-fil-A Foundation definitely still does. And so that's one of those things, like, I've heard this is good. I actually do want to go try this place, but I don't feel like I can. Because, yeah, I don't want to support, I don't want to financially support things that I am opposed to. So it's kind of like that, right? Like, Randy Pitchford is going to make money off of every copy of Borderlands sold. Do you want to give money to bad people? So, like, that's the reason why it feels like it would be bad to, why you shouldn't support good things from bad people.
I mean, it feels like that. I mean, okay, that makes sense to me, but it's like, I feel like you only really give them monetary gain in that regard. Cause it's like, well, what else? Because, like, the thing I was thinking of for the podcast, I was going to say, like, you know, a couple times after, I don't know how many times, okay, but it's like, I really like pizza, okay? And, like, my favorite is Papa John's, and it's like, they were embroiled in some, like, controversy for a while, and it's like, maybe I had, like, a Papa John's pizza or two, like, while it was going on. And then, like, you know, but it's fine now, because he totally, like, he doesn't work for them anymore, so it's totally fine. But, like, you know, maybe while it was happening, it's like, I might have had a craving or two, and I was like, well, I deserve this, and I'm craving this Papa John's pizza, so I will not deny myself this. So, you know, sometimes I want pizza, sometimes I go, I want my favorite dog, and it's like, you know, like, I can't help it. It's not my fault that there are terrible people in the organization that do terrible things if I'm trying to, like, you know, decide on what type of pizza I want that day.
See, that's always my, like, pro side argument. Like, yes, Randy Pitchford is going to make money. And, you know, I guess we don't know that these things are true, but assuming that he is bad, assuming, you know, maybe we won't just use his name. We'll use, like, random other person, like, in games. Nobody is making the games by themselves for the most part. And so, you know, on the one hand, the bad person is getting money. But on the other hand, there's like dozens of other people who will be making money too, because they also had to work on the game. And like, by boycotting it, that means that none of them get money. And some of those people are good people, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe they aren't, because they're working for a bad person. But then, you know, like, it's not that simple. Like, sometimes you don't really get to choose. You need work, and like, if you don't always have the option to hold out until you are working for the good people. Or, you know, as probably is the case, a lot of times you end up working for a bad person that you didn't know was a bad person. Should we be going around and, like, vetting everyone that you work for? Maybe, but also sometimes you need the work. And I'm pretty sure that if you ask those questions at the interview, maybe you don't get the work. Which you probably need. But yeah, like, even in the case of R. Kelly, he is not the only person who makes money off of his music. There's just, you know, musicians aren't, for the most part, musicians aren't the only people making money off of their own art. There's a ton of other people making money off of that as well. And yeah, just like, boycotting the entire thing means, like, all of those people are, if boycotts worked, all of those people would be out of jobs. And that is not necessarily the outcome that we're going for.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, well, you could just pirate the music, but then none of them get compensated. So it's like, on the one hand, that isn't a solution as well. I mean, I guess similar thing would apply to games. You just pirate whatever game and be like, haha, you're not getting any of my money, right? Randy Pitchford, haha.
It's even easier in games because we've got GameStop. You just, like, wait for someone else to sell it back and then buy a used copy. Oh,
actually, yeah, that would be a solution. You could buy a used copy. Only used copies, yeah.
But then it doesn't really help the, you know, like, that's the thing. You want to be able to target the bad people without harming the good people. And I don't think the system is really set up in that way that is actually possible.
What's happening? What's going on?
You want to target the bad people without hurting the good people?
Wait, what? What did I miss?
Right, like, talking about, these products are not made by one person. They're made by lots of people, and maybe only some of them are bad, or in many cases we only know that one of them is bad. But by, you know, like, boycotting, you not only harm the bad people, you also harm the good people who were involved in the thing.
Well, maybe the bad people should have thought about that. Now they're destroying everyone's lives. Everyone's lives.
So yeah, like, that's where I'm at these days, where it's like, I don't want to support the bad people. On the other hand, the bad people aren't the only people in these companies. There's also good people in those companies that I do want to support. But there isn't really a way, you know, I don't want to harm the good people because I'm trying to harm the bad people.
It's actually funny because you used, like, the Chick-fil-A example, but, like, I mean, I don't eat fast food in general, but, like, there is one here, but I never go there. But that's, I mean, if I did, I would, like, that would be my reason, because it's like, you know, F those a-holes. But,
oh my.
Like, you know, just the Papa John's thing is like, you know, it's like one time. I mean, I'd have to look at my, like, you know, bank account and be like, okay, when were these withdrawals taken? Okay, like, when was it? Was it in this window when this was happening? Because it's like, you know, I mean, I deserve to treat myself just as much as anybody else. Wait, I can't help it.
What thing are you talking about?
When that guy thing? Did that?
There were multiples.
Oh, I thought there was just that one time.
All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't eaten at Papa John's in years, but that definitely didn't help matters. So it's like, well, it's a good way not to get my business. I mean, my thing is, though, it's like in some cases it's kind of, I mean, I get what Tropical is saying. It's like, obviously, like, just because one person is doing this bad thing doesn't mean the entire like group is doing these bad things. But at the same time, it's like the people involved kind of know about these things and they're still okay with it. So, I mean, on some level, it's like, unless I don't know, it's a weird matter, because with the one boycotting one person is a lot easier than boycotting the entire company, because, you know, there's a lot of people involved. But then at the same time, it's like, well, the only way this works is if I don't give them money, because they're going to continue to exist if I do that. And then they're going to continue doing their bad practices if I do that. And that's kind of, you know, not what I want. So it makes it difficult.
I guess an example for me would be when Sekiro was published by Activision, because I hate them. Mm-hmm. And I don't buy their games. And that was like, well, you know, usually Sekiro, I'd be like, I'm going to buy this game, it's from Activision. But, you know, I was like, well, it's only like one, and I haven't bought an Activision game in a long time. So it'll be this one exception, and I can go back to being like, F Activision. I mean, yeah, I bought the Crash whatever thingy, and like, I'm probably going to get the Crash whatever card thingy. But it's like, you know, besides that, it's like there's very little output from them of like their games that I am getting. So it's like, they're not getting my money anyway. So it's like, yeah. And I can see that they're hurting, because it's like they're not selling as many copies of their game. And it's like, ha 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 ha. Call of Duty's on the way out. Ha 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 ha. You're slowly on that decline there. It feels great to watch them go through it and be like, yeah. I mean, sure, like you said, man, there's like good people that work in the organization, but bad always are good, so F them. Yeah, I guess that's where I stand. F them.
Oh my.
Kill one to save the rest. There you go. Okay, had a good. Oh yeah.
The EA and Activision situations, I think, are interesting, because you know that, for example, if BioWare released Anthem and nobody bought it, and it's like, well, it was all management's fault for, you know, poor leadership and whatnot, but you just know that they are not the people who are going to get fired. The people who get fired, yeah, are like, oh. I guess we're closing BioWare because they can't make anything good anymore. And it's just like all the low-level people that get fired.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the people who actually were, you know, responsible.
The other day, like, I came up in my mind was like the perfect world solution, which was perhaps, you know, we've always been told, like, oh, vote with your wallets. Perhaps that is not what we should do. Perhaps we were lied to about that, because has that ever worked?
Has whatever worked? Oh, voting with your wallet?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Is that something that rich people told us? Vote with your wallets. If you don't like my product, don't buy it. And then months later, it's like, well, nobody bought our product. Goodbye, lowly workers. It's like, no, that's sense. Not what we're trying to do. We're trying to hurt you. It's like, well, I'm untouchable. I got all these meat shields in my way. You know, maybe we've been going about this all wrong, and just like, money is not our voice. Our voice is our voice.
Well, that is true. But it would be one of those things where it's like, you would need a probably like groundswell of people to be like, haha, now that I have all these other people behind me that agree with me the same way, now we might be able to make a difference or something.
I don't know if that doesn't work because we've never tried it, or because it doesn't work. So it sounds like Tekken, you just basically are like, I will deny you what you want, but I will not deny me what I want.
Whoa, shout out to Cole. Whoa. Okay, that is not true, because I mean, there were times when like I was thinking about it and I was like, well, on the one hand, this is my favorite pizza, but that whole thing went down and I was like, well, I guess I'll get pizza today. And then I get Papa John's. And then actually that was funny because like I had been eating Papa John's for like so long at that point that like, even though it was my favorite, I had pizza for like the first time in like forever. I was like, I forgot how good the cheese tastes. I was like, oh, the sauce. I was like, oh, I kind of fell in love with it again. I was like, oh, I forgot what I was missing. So it kind of brought me back. It was weird. And I was like, oh, I kind of like them both just as much now. It's weird. The rediscovery of my love for the Pizza Hut. That was delicious. Thanks, Papa John's, for being a jerk and making me remember. That's great.
But you still had Papa John's a few times. Or like in the case of Activision, like you still bought some Activision games because you wanted them.
I mean, I can't help it who polishes a game that's like, oh man, this looks really good, and like is shown a trailer that like gets me hyped. Okay, I'm not any less susceptible to the hype rate when it's like this looks like it might be really awesome. So it's like, you know, if it gets there to that level, then I will be checking it out. Or if it's like, you know, Destiny, when it's like, well, I'm kind of on this train, can't really get off it now. But then now I'm not anymore. So yippee. I mean, that's kind of like too late because they no longer work with them. So that's weird, but whatever. So
like in certain cases, and, you know, we're using artists very broadly applying to Activision, but occasionally you just separate the art from the artist and then just, you know, you make the exceptions.
Yeah. Sometimes. But most of the time, I will not. I mean, that being said, yeah. Sometimes, yes, but like, I'm now the type of person where it's like, I will morally take a stand if I feel so inclined to be like, you know, I'm not going to do it.
RPG, how do you usually...
Like, all the games that have season passes and all that crap that I've just, like, not bought all these last couple of years. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it anymore. And just, you know, like Far Cry 4 and the other one. After Primal, 4 and New Dawn, yeah. Where it's like, man, I really like Far Cry Primal. But then they started doing that crap. And it's like, I'm not doing it anymore. I no longer support this practice. And I can't follow you down this path, Anakin.
RPG, what do you usually do? Do you separate?
I mean,
do you separate them? Can you separate them? How do you justify the separating?
Or do you like,
or
you know,
not
just
separating?
Also do the thing I said when you're away. Do you just like, you know, I may like these R. Kelly jams, but I'll just pirate the music, ha ha ha. Or I may really like this Gearbox game, but I'm just gonna pirate it, and you're not gonna get any of my money, suckers, ha ha ha.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like if it's something that's bad enough, I probably just won't buy any more of their, or buy, if it's a company or something, just won't buy any more of their products or anything like that. And then just, because I mean, I'm not going to support something that, or support somebody that, you know, does things I don't like or believe in. It's just like, why do that kind of thing? So I mean, I don't know, it's one of those things where there's probably a gray area in there somewhere, but at the same time, it's like, I guess how far are you willing to, I guess, take your love or like of something to kind of like bury your beliefs or something? So I don't know. But generally speaking, I wouldn't like support the company after they've done something bad enough, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Once again, I will say it again. I don't know how to be in this world. Because on the one hand it's like, well, simple boycott, but then I worry about collateral, and I was like, I don't, you know, I wish it could be more surgical somehow. So like, that's why I have this this news, like, oh, wow. maybe instead of our speaking with our wallets, we should speak with our mouths. But I don't know if that's gonna work or if that's something that works. But yeah, like, it doesn't it doesn't make sense to me to try to drive them out of business if it means that it's like, well, you know, this is why we don't prosecute white collar crimes anymore. Because people are always like, oh no, that's going to kill jobs. So we got to let the white collar criminals continue so that they can keep people employed. It's like, there's got to be another way, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
I hope so. Though we are maybe not in the best place to be hoping that.
I mean, yeah, it's like, as far as like the whole with your dollar thing, besides not giving them the dollar, you could just like find a better, or try to find an alternative that's like similar or close enough, even if it's not as good, because it's better than them. F them.
Well, I mean, the whole game and the reason this came up in my mind this week is because of Borderlands 3. When I saw the trailer, I was not actually as excited as I thought I would be. And I was just like, well, why is that? Is it because of the weirdness surrounding Gearbox right now? And like there was other stories that popped up previously, but they were sort of summarized during this announcement week again, you know, resurfaced because the Alien Colonial Marines thing, like that was a very weird situation. Where Gearbox was like, oh, we're going to make this game. We're making Colonial Marines. And then they didn't make Colonial Marines. Like they outsourced it to someone else. And the studio that got it was like, there has not been as much work as they said put into this so far. And yeah, it was just like a very messy situation. And apparently there was another story longer ago that the style of Borderlands is possibly copied from someone else. Some guy, I forget his name, unfortunately, but he made a film for MTV, and it was like the style that we see Borderlands in when it eventually came out. And like Gearbox had talked to the guy about, oh, directing some cinematics or whatever. And then he didn't do it. And then when Borderlands came out, he was like, well, that's weird because I didn't take them up on the collaboration. And yet, like, the game looks like my movie. And then, yeah, then there's the the weird thumb drive magic show podcast thing that that was recently. It was just like so much stuff going on over there that is just like, maybe that is why I'm not as excited about Borderlands 3 as I could have been.
Wait, what happened?
Which part?
That step away to take a phone call.
Oh, just all the strangeness surrounding Gearbox all these years. Colonial Marines, style of Borderlands, and then, yeah, the weird suit that's going on.
Wait, what weird suit that's going on?
The one with the thumb drive and all that?
Oh, that one. Yes. That guy. That guy.
Magic tricks.
So,
it's just a weird chain of events, just general.
And then, yeah, so that's like basically all the stuff I've said is like the stuff that I've been thinking about surrounding Borderlands 3. It's like, you know, I buy games from publishers that people would probably, you know, people of like very high moral standards would be like, no, you cannot. They exploit their workers, blah, 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 blah. Or, you know, even Tekken stands like, no, Season Pass is terrible and all that. And like, after release DLC is just like, all of that is terrible. And I have bought, you know, even recently, I've bought many deluxe editions that come with Season Passes. So I'm not necessarily like this high moral standard person. And yet, I guess, past a certain point, it does feel like, should I support this? Should I support Borderlands 3 because of all this weirdness? But also, you know, on the other hand, I don't want to hurt everyone there.
Because, I mean, on the one hand, Borderlands 3. On the other hand,
Another example I was thinking of was, say there was like an election and someone is just a terrible person, but the other person is being investigated by the FBI, and it's like, well, those are tough choices. I mean, there's third party candidates, but you know, they never win. So it's like, that's kind of a waste of your vote, but it's like, you know, I gotta choose. And it's like, well, no, no, no. And it's like, yeah. So just saying, I'm just saying. Sometimes we've all been there.
Have we though? Have we?
Yeah, we have now.
Well, yes, darkest timeline and everything, but still.
I'm not going to name any names or anything, but I'll just give you, like, you know, the brief summary of, like, you know, the setup there. But then, yeah, and that's the thing, and it totally happened. So yeah,
I knew who I chose. I'm just going to say that.
I think, like, even in the next one, like, that is kind of a question, too. I mean, we have lots of choices right now.
I know.
Is it a time to really demand the best now? Can, like, have we gotten to the point where it's just like...
Anybody can do it.
Well, because on the one hand, like, there's a lot of people saying... you know, we gotta go for the win. Like, it doesn't matter if whoever ends up being the forerunner is like the best person and has zero skeletons. Like, we just gotta pick the person who can win against the definitely worst choice. And it's just like, is it that? Like, is that where we are now? Like, we're fighting for the perfect world, but. You know, we can't depend on the perfect people to be our champions because they can't win. I was like, that's kind of weird. Perhaps this is, you know, that thought also comes up in my mind a lot, where it's just like, if when I'm thinking of the perfect world, I never think of the ways to exploit it. You know, like, I'm thinking of this as like, oh, you know, maybe voting with our wallets is not the way. There must be another way that allows us to, you know, achieve what we want to achieve, but then also avoid collateral. And in my mind is like, yeah, that seems like the perfect way to do it, whatever it may be. And you know, I guess maybe there's just people out there who are also like, they'll hear that and be like, oh, I know exactly how to exploit that. This is like that is their first thought. On the other hand, I also feel like, well, if that's the case, like when we say that there will always be trolls, does that mean we are giving cover for people to become trolls? Because they hear that and they think, oh, they assume there will always be trolls, so there's no problem with me becoming one.
Did we have a similar question the week of that? I feel like we had a similar question the week to like that premise.
That last part, yeah. We've done that one, I think.
We did that one, yeah.
But yeah, in this case...
About that wonderfully toxic gaming environment.
You know, maybe...
Because did you see the Gamma Sutra article where it was like Blizzard implemented that whatever thing into Overwatch or something and it like decreased the... a-hole behavior or something, or like actually worked or something. I can't remember.
Oh, the like up. The like plus the yeah. Like good job system, basically.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe we don't want to go too far into that topic because then we would just be in aimless land and we'll have no idea how to get back. You don't bring when you go to aimless land.
You don't. You really don't.
And you know, the birds just eat the breadcrumbs.
Wait, what's happening right now?
But yeah, in this case, you know, maybe the sort of boycott used to work, and now they've found a way to shield themselves from the boycott. And so that's like someone thought, oh, you know, the perfect world is we vote with our money, we vote with our wallets, and then the people who got voted against with other people's wallets. Sounds weird.
Well, the problem is it's trying to vote with your wallet. It's like you have to kind of get everybody on board, because if everybody is not on board, then there are people still, you know, buying these things. I mean,
but yeah, what I'm talking about there,
you would just like need enough to like do them damage to where it's like they're losing money, and it's like, yeah, okay, well, we must change course if this is, because we don't want to, no changing, no bling bling, money dear boy money, as we say.
I mean, recently, you know, in the case of Battlefront 2 Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Battlefront 1 did really well. You know, it killed all Disney published games because they were like, oh, we're making so much bank on Battlefront, we should just never make our own games. Like, we'll just license out our games. And Battlefront 2 had enough negative press that enough people didn't buy it that they had to change their entire, like, progression loot box.
Actually, that was part of the that Anthem story, is like when there's like all that pushback, like EA had to completely redo like all their microtransactions across the board. So I guess it can work if there's enough pushback on certain things like that. So maybe.
But see, like, who got hurt? Like, really?
Oh, yeah, situation? The developers, because they all got like, you know, or so many studios closed. But there was like such a from all the negative financial.
Yeah, situation. It was like EA Montreal.
And it was none of like upper management. It was just like, you know, like bottom floor or the ground floor developers.
Yeah.
So
like several studios are gone. But you know, the executives and like the Anthem story, basically, it doesn't, like, the Anthem story itself doesn't actually lay blame on anyone. But the way I read it was that a lot of the problems with Anthem were because of management. It was like the leadership team ignored all of the concerns that the team brought up during development. They're like, oh, like one of the parts was EA or BioWare Austin that made The Old Republic. They had all these suggestions on like how you better marry like online play with narrative stuff. They kept telling them, you know, people aren't going to, and on the one hand, they're trying to listen to all this narrative, but if they're playing online, then like people don't listen to scripted dialogue as well if they have their friends on their headsets. And they're, I guess they have solutions, or like they've worked with stuff with that, like that in the Old Republic. And leadership was just like, nope, doesn't matter.
Basically.
It's like, we're the A team. You're not Edmonton. We are. We don't take. We're totally getting ahead of ourselves. We're not going to listen to the likes of you, plebs from Austin. Go back to Texas.
And yeah, it was really crazy because, like, you can draw a line. They've lots of people, ex EA people, must want to talk to the press because we've heard the stories behind all these. We heard the story behind Inquisition. We heard the story behind Mass Effect Andromeda. True. And it's just like, there is a through line through all of it. They didn't have the resources. You know, people were all working on Andromeda. And so, or no, everyone's working on Inquisition because they need to get it out. And so Andromeda didn't have enough people. And then Anthem team at the time was like, oh man, we've done so well on our planning phase that we're not going to go through that. Like, Andromeda is screwed, but whatever. We're not in that boat. And then later, they were in that boat because of the same kind of problems. But they weren't. Yeah. Like, Battlefront 2, I think, is a really great example, just because it was both financial and outcry from fans that was like, that made them change the loot crates. But then, so I guess like the fans got what they wanted, but also we didn't get what we wanted, because I think the fans would have much preferred that those responsible were like removed, and then like maybe everything that went down after Battlefront 2 would have turned out differently. Better management on Andromeda and Anthem may have resulted in better games.
Yeah, that is a pretty good example of like the people that needed to have justice brought onto them did not have justice brought onto them.
Get Thanos dusted.
That seems a bit
I'm sorry, that was too far.
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness.
This is very excited.
Choptical. What has this timeline done to you? What?
But at what cost?
Everything.
Gosh.
Yeah. I think it's very so far the advice that I've seen from other places is like, oh, you just sort of decide for yourself, like how much do you like Michael Jackson's music that you can ignore everything you know about the man, or
allegedly
and like, or Orson Scott Card, is that his name? Ender's Game author. Like, man, I thought Ender's Game was so good, but after hearing about the man, it's just like, I don't know what to do with that. And you know, chances are like a lot of older people are gonna well, we're learning that this is not true, but it used to be sort of generally accepted that older people are gonna be more racist. And you know, but then the thing is, like, older people made the classics because they're older. Like, that's why we call them classics. If we still think of them today. But then it's just like, but then, you know, they may have been less than ideal people. Like, you know, you can say that about today. It's like, a lot of the products that we buy are from rich people because they're rich. And yeah, rich people do not oftentimes work against us, not rich people. So it's like, how do we come to term? Like, what do we do with that? Silence.
What exactly do you mean by that question?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. It's the whole question. And I think I keep going on about it because I haven't figured it out. It felt like we were almost done with this topic and then we could have moved on to the news, but then I just kept talking. So it's my fault that show continues.
It's
aimless. Yeah, like I do not know. Not even personally. I don't know what I should do with. I do not know how to be.
Yeah, because even the like Shadow Complex was like that, where it's like stuff was brought up about the creator, but that was like after the game had come out, so I kind of felt bad. But then also the what was that one game that's like, it was shown on Xbox at E3, like with the neon, the cyberpunk looking pixel art.
Oh yeah,
whatever that one, Nightlight or something. Isn't it like Nightlight or something night?
Something.
But yeah, that one. Light. And all these allegations about the creator, and it's like, well, I don't know how to feel about this, so, but this game looks really cool, but it's like, I don't know, maybe for me personally, it's like, I wouldn't buy the game day one at full MSRP and just like wait for a sale or something, or like more info, and just be like, well, at least I waited as long as I could to inflict the max amount of financial damage to get this game as soon as I could and play it. Or something, or they didn't get all their money, they only got some of it. Or, well, I guess they all got all the money regardless, but they didn't get like the full asking price of their game. Haha,
there's so many in games too, like Notch, who made Minecraft. Like, he is a insane man, I guess, and terrible. And I guess like they've removed his name from Minecraft, and then there was the whole thing with Palmer
Lucky. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. With Oculus. It was like, whew. All the time. Every single time. Oops. Yeah. I had not I don't know this shadow complex thing you're talking about. So that's another one. They like happen later. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I did not know these things. And it feels like probably maybe there's just lots of those kinds of stories. Like maybe if I was like really standing my ground on everything, I would have nothing.
Ooh, I don't know about
as
that.
Far as like material stuff.
I'm actually glad you brought up the whole like, now that I know that piracy is an option, it's like, I don't feel so bad. It's like, well, this looks cool enough, but this person's a jerk. I can just steal it. Yeah.
Did I bring up piracy? No, I brought up secondhand. You brought up piracy.
I was about to say, you brought up piracy. Never mind. I was like, that wasn't tropical. That was you.
Fighting fire with fire. Gonna be Robin Hood, that person. Oh, yeah. It's like, so you like to be this way against people? Well, you're not getting my money. In fact, I'm going to take it for free. Ah. And this is where Tekken's at in 2019. This is where he's at. This is what the world's done to me. Darkest timeline. I'm supposed to be a paragon.
Like, that one makes sense, except for the collateral. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to.
Well, like I said, tropical. Chaotic good. Kill one, save the rest. Sometimes it's good. Like RPG says, man, sometimes it bees that way.
It does. Damn. Sometimes it does bees that way.
Well then, is there anything else to add to this? Because I just keep going in circles, so I'm gonna stop.
I mean, it's kind of like the reason I don't play any weird like Japanesey tentacle stuff or level of, as you call them. It's just like you guys are kind of bringing unwanted visibility to the hobby. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Okay. Try not to like normalize all your
to these kinds of weird things. It's not.
I mean, it. Then I'm the one being shamed.
Not, yeah. No. As you should be.
No.
Let us like our weird stuff, man.
I mean,
let us like our tentacles. Take in.
Have your tentacles and like them, it's just you know.
Oh, I do. Well, I do.
Just another thing for me to have shame about in my everyday life. People have to bring it up. Like, oh, I play video games. Oh, are you into that tentacle stuff? It's like, no.
Yes,
actually, I tentacles. Am.
Are you too?
Okay.
Just kidding. That's not what's going on. I feel like Tekken does really like tentacles. He's just,
I do not. As a gamer.
Just doesn't want anybody to know the
just
truth.
Just as a human?
Or my waifu. Just as a human. We've had this discussion. Wait, did you just say as a human?
Well, you said no as a gamer. I was like, why did you add that part?
Whatever.
Unprompted.
It's
did
true.
They say that?
I mean, weird. He's not wrong.
It's a weird night, man.
Not wrong.
Cool. Well, in that case, if there's nothing else on the listeners, if you're out there, let us know how you make the stand, where you make the stand. Are you afraid of collateral? Or did I just ruin it for you and now you got to think about collateral?
Ruining lives one topic at a time.
Man. Yeah, let us know in somehow, probably Twitter, easiest. Let us go on to the weekly RRR. Rapid release responses for the first week of April. Wow, it's April.
It is.
Amazing. Well, we're going to start off with April 4th here and going to do titles and the first 10 words of the description and see if they sound interesting or not. And the first game here, April 4th, is called Scorcery. Scorcery is a local multiplayer sport-like video game set in...
Gross. He said sports.
Sports-like?
Still, same difference.
It sounds like sports with magic. Or, dare I say, sorcery. Get it? Because it's sports and scorcery combined.
You'll see yourself out now.
All right. April 5th, we got Beat Blaster. Beat Blaster is a VR game about shooting and running.
I mean,
that's a bit, you know, basic pass.
That does seem basic.
I don't have any VR capabilities, so that extra pass on me.
Extra pass.
April 9th, next Tuesday. First one is Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy.
That's already happening? I didn't know that was already happening.
It's already happening.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I mean, I want it. I do want it. But the only problem is like the previous games in the series don't have the same mechanics as the newer ones. So it's going to be like very basic in comparison to, you know, the current Phoenix Wright type thing. So
it was first one, right? Yeah, this is the first three.
Yeah, it's the first three. Yeah. You know? So it's going to be like the bare bones version of Phoenix Wright, basically.
Tekken?
I'll get it eventually. No, I haven't played any of them. I only know it from reputation because people are like, Phoenix Wright, objection. Here it's again.
LOLs, objection.
This is another one of Capcom's remasters, so maybe it will be super good.
And they're on the way up, so it probably will be because, you know.
Hot streak continues.
The next one is Shovel Knight King of Cards. Shovel Knight King of Cards is the final campaign in...
Wait, what? That's a bad description, but I'm going to get it eventually.
I have never played the
I remember talking about it on the podcast. I was like, it's a retro style.
It's supposed to be super good. Then we got Zanki Zero Last Beginning. God created the world in 7 days. That. It only took...
I forgot all about that game. I mean, I am interested, but that's only because I know of it beforehand. The description would not have. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Chicken? I don't know. Based on
description. I have no interest in... Based on the description, that was not a very good description.
All right. Then we got Falcon Age. Falcon Age is a first-person single-player action-adventure as Ara.
Action-adventure, you say. First-person, you say.
Pass. Falcon.
Sounds very dungeon-y.
And it's called Falcon Age, so there's also that.
All right. Dangerous Driving. From the creative talent behind the genre-defining Burnout series, Dangerous.
That could have been a lot better too, but I already know about
the Burnout?
Because Burnout? I was like, oh, it looks like the old ones when they were better than the ones at the end. Or rather, the Paradise City specifically, because everybody gushed all over that game. It's like, dude, Burnout 2 and 3, easily better than that garbage. Fight me. I don't care.
Fight him. Fight him.
Because you're wrong.
RPG Burnout, yes?
I mean, Burnout is amazing, but the problem is I don't like to drive dangerously. I live in Florida. It's already dangerous enough as it is. I don't want to play a game about my life.
Florida. I mean, RPG could have a Florida man encounter or woman encounter every day.
That's true. It's a very distinct possibility that these are things that are happening. My life is kind of a dumpster fire.
We haven't had any other
daily
other
eavesdrop sessions on his customers to be like, oh, what's the weird thing we're going to hear about today in the Florida going on in Florida?
He tweets about it on his Twitter.
I do tweet about it on my Twitter.
So follow RPG. then we got Vaporum. Vaporum is a modern real-time dungeon crawler situated in N.
Ew, no thank you. Real-time dungeon crawler? Who even calls their game that?
A real-time Vaporum.
Wouldn't you just say action RPG or like something else that sounds boring or not fun?
It must not be an action RPG. It must be a...
Oh, yeah. But it's a dungeon crawler. What other genre do you play while you're in a dungeon crawling?
Roguelikes
in real time. Ew, that's even worse.
Exactly.
And then finally, Shovel Knight Showdown. Duel with up to four players and scramble after gems.
Wait, this there's sounds like a PvP two Shovel game. Knight games coming
no, thank
out?
You.
I guess so.
Oh, interesting.
No, thank you, PvP. RPG?
Again, I have not played any of the games, but yeah, I'm not like down with the PvP thing, so that ain't happening.
Alrighty. So yeah, those are the releases coming out in the next week. On to the news. First up, Borderlands 3 was revealed. It was at PAX. They had a whole showcase thing on numerous Borderlands things, but Borderlands 3 is coming out September 13th this year. Four different versions ranging from the standard $60 to the $80 and the $100 and the $250 Diamond Loot Crate Collector's Edition, which
holy hell
comes it's with a bunch of stuff, probably
garbage that you don't need. Certain landfill.
Probably not wrong, but still.
We know a little bit about it. I guess there's evil twins, the Calypso twins. They're uniting the bandit clans and are going to claim the galaxy's ultimate power. Four new Vault Hunters. Moe's.
Who are they?
The Who gunner. Are they?
It says Moe's the gunner. When she needs backup, she digistructs her mechanic iron bear for a one-punch attack of additional firepower. Amara is the siren. Confident, capable brawler with the ability to summon ethereal fists. Then there's, I think it's Flak, FL4K. Or maybe it's FL4K. As the Beastmaster lives for the hunt, so do the loyal beasts that follow their master's every command. And then Zane as the operative, specializing in battlefield gadgetry, extremely proficient at slipping into combat, creating chaos, and sneaking back out as if he were never there.
It's like Zero.
Yes, I guess so. And then they gave some examples of guns. There was that one in the trailer with the gun that has legs. And it it chases down enemies while hurling insults,
which is hilarious.
That is the best of both worlds.
There's a rifle that spawns volcanoes.
What?
And this one I don't know how to read, but it says firearms with self-propelling bullet shields.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. It's like Borderlands came. It was all about the guns and the loot and the shooting. Everything else was like, we can maybe do something like that. And it's like, but dudes, do you have these types of guns in your garbage loot in a shooting game? No, you don't. Because all you have is loot to chase that's like crap and like game that's like not fun to play and like story that's like not even like 10% of like the laughs I've had while playing Warlands with friends. It's just not even there. You just go back. And now that the king has returned, it's like, I don't have to go back to you ever again, Destiny, because it's coming out in September. And I'll be free. And I'll be like, yeah, see, this is what I was missing all these years. I've been craving this game. It's like, sure, I didn't get the other half of the coin in Splinter Cell 3, but I'll gladly take Borderlands 3 and be like playing this game and having fun. And it'll be just like old times. And I can't wait. It was kind of weird, though, like when I saw the trailer, because I was like, you know, even though I'm not like visually impressed as much as I was expecting, I don't care. I'm glad it's back. And I will totally pick it up when it comes out.
On other Borderlands.
They all sound kind of cool, though, for the hunters. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know which one I want to do. Well, except for the operative, I don't do stealth. But, I mean, other than that, everybody else sounds kind of cool. So the whole digistructing your cyber bear thing and magic arms and all kinds of fun stuff.
Other Borderlands things, they announced that Borderlands remastered. I don't know. Game the first edition. Borderlands.
Is, Game, of the Year edition Game of the Year edition
is coming out.
Remastered.
Well, it's out now.
Saturday.
Ultra HD, 4K textures, HDR. Apparently, like, improved quality of life. that they didn't really talk about.
The final boss, they said they changed. I thought that was pretty funny because that was like the one bad thing about that game was like the final boss was a complete joke. It was just a tentacle monster that sat there and shot its gooey orange center. And it's like, that's it. That's
gooey orange center.
They also upped the split screen. So it used to be 2-player split screen, but on PS4 it is 4-player split screen.
4-player split screen Borderlands.
Pretty cool.
I remember when that was like an issue, like last year, and I was like, we don't have the resources to do this, so we can only have 2-player split screen.
Just like, whatever. 4-player. they're also adding the DLC chapters from Borderlands 2 into Borderlands VR. And then the Handsome Collection is getting an update with HDR and Ultra HD textures. So lots of Borderlands stuff going on. Yeah.
That's going to be exciting.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited that I was like, you know what? I'm going to replay the entire series, including Tales from the Borderlands, because those characters are in there now. And it's just going to be a fun year for the rest of the year, even though it's the darkest timeline, I don't care. Because I've got Claptrap and my pals in Pandora and all the crazies and all the guns. It's kind of like an analogy to America if you think about it, but you know, whatever. So
it's full of crazies and guns. You're right. although one of my, man, I still, that Tales of the Borderland, man, that was far better than I expected. Far better than I expected.
Oh man, if there's like a mech battle again, oh my gosh.
Online servers for Drive Club, Drive Club VR, and Drive Club Bikes will be shut down March 31st of 2020. And because those games are very reliant on online stuff, they're gonna stop selling.
Basically,
well, you can still play all the single player stuff offline.
But why?
They're gonna stop selling Drive Club and all of the DLC and season passes after August 31st of this year. Although that part is also related to, I guess they had a 5-year license on the cars and stuff, so just like Marvel games and all the other licensed games that Activision has, that's why they get delisted. Sega.
Sure, Drive Club VR. I hope they didn't. Now, anyway.
It's probably really cheap now.
But it's going offline soon, Tropical. What's the point?
That's probably true. You could probably get
a Grand Turismo.
Better VR driving game. Sega has announced that they are joining the mini console thingy with the Sega Genesis Mini. It's going to be out September 19th, 2019, which I feel like is related to Sega in some way, that date. $80. It's going to be 40 games, come with 2 controllers. So far, they've only announced 10 of the games. Echo the Dolphin. Oh, wait.
Did the other ones come with 2 controllers, or they just came with 1?
The PlayStation came with 2.
The first Nintendo Super Mini Nintendo came with 1.
Yeah, the NES Mini only came with 1.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. The F Nintendo.
But it's Echo the Dolphin, Castlevania Bloodlines, Space Harrier 2, Shining Force, Dr. Yes, Robotnik's Mean Machine.
Mean Bean Machine. Tropical.
That's not mine. I just copied and pasted. Toe Jam and Earl, Comic Zone, Sonic the Hedgehog, Altered Beast, and Gunstar Heroes are the first 10 of the eventual 40.
I mean,
future generations will know of Gunstar Heroes, finally.
even that 10 is like a pretty good starting lineup there.
Yeah, apparently, like Castlevania Bloodlines is like one of the lost Castlevanias that I guess you could get it on PSP as part of a collection, and recently with the PS4 Castlevania something. All games that actually a lot of them are available on other stuff right now. Gunstar Heroes was on PS3, right?
Yeah, on the like thingy that just came out, like a bunch of these are on it. I'm not sure. I mean, I know Castlevania is not because it's like not in rotation, whatchamacallit, out there in the game circulation. Sphere. Yes, that it's not in circulation, but everything else I think is on a collection or something.
Still,
that's in there.
You know, this is gonna be 40 games, and that's just 10. So pretty good, pretty good there. We touched upon it briefly. There was all this stuff about Anthem. Jason Schreier has written another expose. What went wrong with Anthem? And it's if you read the one on Andromeda or Inquisition, it's kind of similar.
It's like, what that's going on?
A lot of it is like Frostbite is continuing to have the problems.
It's like, that was weird because it was like, that was a company-wide
initiative.
That's like a company-wide initiative, and it like effed up all their games. It's like, why did they just not change course on that when it like they saw it was giving every basically game or developer trying to use it development hell syndrome?
Well, so what they said was it because Inquisition did super well.
Oh, that's right.
They're like in the article. He says if Inquisition
they, like, against had it, failed, that was pretty crazy.
Then they would have been like,
"Yeah,
oh man, we need to change course." But since it succeeded, they're like, oh, "We can do it. We are BioWare." And
BioWare magic.
Yeah, like the BioWare magic is something that leadership has faith in, and just ask people to have faith in, and it basically is like the game is always a disaster until the very end when it is not. And people were kind of like,
reading this article, okay, it's just like, what?
I hope so.
Yeah. I have a crazy Kool-Aid. Are they drinking there?
it's really interesting. There's a ton of stuff in there. The Frostbite thing is just, it's very insane. And since there's only like, you know, DICE made Frostbite, so they have like the Frostbite strike team that they can send to help people. But then, I guess like EA has a sort of, you get resources if you make a lot of money. And who makes money at EA? It's not RPGs. It's FIFA.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, they couldn't get resources and management leadership didn't listen to their complaints. And
they're like the one executive they showed the game to was like, this game's garbage. And they like made a really, really graphically intensive, pretty version. And he's like, oh, this is effing awesome, guys.
They added flying in, back in. And it was just, it's a very interesting read.
They didn't pick the name for the game until like a week after they showed it, or a week before they showed it to E3. Yeah. And it's like, what? What?
They were going to call it Beyond.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, it's too hard to get the trademark. We're going to call it Anthem. And they're like, what is that? That doesn't mean anything. But it was one of the other like titles they had considered. And it was after that that they came up with the Anthem of Creation in the game, which is like the mystical power that created the world or whatever. And
also, the game started as like a survival type thing. It wasn't even about like loot shooting garbage. And then when like they accidentally stumbled into that, the like everybody, like all the higher ups were like, don't compare this to Destiny.
Yeah.
Don't, whatever you do, don't compare this to Destiny.
Don't compare just Destiny. Like,
but how, what?
You can talk Destiny. About Diablo, but you can't talk about Destiny.
Also, there was, what else? This was such a crazy story. There's something else that happened that was like weird. I can't think of right now. It'll come to me eventually though, but just so much weirdness in the story.
It's really so bad reading it. I guess like BioWare has suffered.
Oh yeah, a lot of meetings where like nothing happened, where they're just like, well, we got this, issues here, suggestions, ideas, anybody, and just like, oh, okay, yeah. taking notes, yep, and nothing happened as far as like, you know, addressing those things for like months, years, and it just like went like that on the ship until like, you know, the last 6 to 12 months of development, and they're like, we gotta make this game and poop it out because we have demands. And upper management is like, or EA is like, we're not going to delay it anymore. We gotta put it out, man. Development costs too high. Gotta cut our, make the returns on this one. Sorry. Such a crazy story.
So Kotaku reached out.
In the cry rooms, that was crazy too. Oh my gosh, that was like rooms where people just, the breakdowns, I forgot what they called it, just like the BioWare something.
Like the term that many of them learned was stress sleeve, where you're just like too stressed and doctor orders you to leave work for several weeks and people are just like, stress leave is a thing? Like, they didn't know that it existed. But yeah, no, the story continued because the Kotaku had reached out to EA and BioWare before they published, and then they sent them like bullet points on what the article would cover. And then so like basically very shortly after the article was published, BioWare had a response on their blog, which basically did not appear to address the actual article. It seemed like they had written it beforehand, and it was just they basically said, oh, you know, we heard that the article is going to like tear down a bunch of individuals, and we don't want to tear down individuals. We think that making games better is like better or something. And yeah, it was very strange. And then today or later today, I heard that they didn't, like, EA and BioWare have not responded to the article to their employees. Instead, they sent out an email that said, don't talk to the press. And that's where we are
now. That always goes well.
That is where we are now.
Secrets.
Let's see. So there's all that. And then finally, Twitch Prime currently includes a 12-month subscription to Nintendo Switch Online.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
So if you've got Twitch Prime, or if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, go link up your Twitch Prime and then link it up to Nintendo, and then you can have a 3-month subscription to Nintendo Switch Online. And then if you keep it after that, then you can have the rest of the 9 months. So
I hope this is just like a thing, right? Like, get this with my Prime subscription, I'd be very happy. Then I want to pay for
crazy, yeah,
Nintendo Switch Online and be like, haha, it worked out. It all worked out. Yes. So I'm not paying for a Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah, it was more work than I thought it would be, but not a ton of work. I was like, all right, cool. So I'm getting a free year to Nintendo Switch Online.
Thanks, Nintendo and Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and your billions of dollars that you should be putting towards cancer research and other diseases, but whatever.
I mean,
I'm going to date. Yeah.
Mario.
Yeah, that is the news that I have. Unless you want to talk about rumors, which we don't. So
I heard a rumor.
There are rumors.
I mean, I guess we know.
There's always rumors.
So yeah, the other stuff that I remember, like Ubisoft announced their E3 thing, so they're going to be there. Valve accidentally unveiled their VR headset. I guess they are going it alone and making their own hardware. Because I guess they're making their own VR games, too. So Valve is making games and hardware behind the scenes. But yeah, the Valve Index, it's called, is actually going to be revealed May 1st. And then ship sometime in June, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they've been doing all these years, is working on VR and VR games.
I guess so.
Well, I hope
definitely wasn't on Half-Life 3.
I hope there wasn't some accident where they just slipped and fell into some crack, and that's all they've been doing this whole time, is just smoking the crack and like, oh man, VR guys, you know, just living the dream, chasing the dragon, VR dragon.
There was some, there was a story about Metro Exodus. They found out that they got some of their Steam code stolen from factory that was printing the discs and stuff. And if you remember, Metro Exodus is not available on Steam. It's only available on the Epic Games Store. And so they started getting complaints that like, hey, I inputted my Steam code and it doesn't work. And they were like, what?
That is funny.
And then they found out, oh, it was stolen. And the reason it wasn't working was because they had removed the executables from the Steam like version. That like, so like some files I guess are on Steam, and if you had this stolen code, you could access it. But yeah, like that's how they found out, oh, someone stole our codes and has been illegally reselling them online. So if you, they're basically saying, if you got a Steam code for Metro Exodus, those were stolen and you should go and try to get a refund.
Use a thief!
Because they've like taken all the Steam stuff offline. So weird story there.
Oh.
Some people apparently got hands-on with some of that VR stuff that they showed at the State of Play. Iron Man apparently is not sort of a VR experience shooting gallery, whatever. It's going to be a full VR Iron Man game where you play Tony Stark as well in first person.
I get to be a rich billionaire playboy?
I guess so. So, yeah, like, impressions apparently are pretty good so far. More so than people expected.
That was a bad trailer. I mean, going off of, like, that, those impressions, it's like, that was a bad trailer.
There was also, people got to check out No Man's Sky VR.
And their minds are blown.
Yeah, apparently their minds are blown.
I just saw that. I was like, I'm getting that when this comes out this summer. That super duper update that fixes all the things.
VR is looking really incredible. Like, the future of VR is looking really incredible right now. Lots of PS4 stuff. We got Oculus coming out with a
wireless one. Say VR gets like super popular. Like, if this whole game streaming thing is like a thing, like, does that play into the scenario at all? Google Stadia. Now scan your room.
Yet. I don't know. I think.
Please don't hit any furniture.
You know, maybe that was the plan all along. Like, if you have a VR headset, then you're not made obsolete by streaming. You know, sort of like right now, definitely Blu-ray is better quality than streaming. And yet, oftentimes, I feel like if the digital one is cheaper, I don't mind taking the hit in quality because it's just so much more convenient to be able to stream a movie, for example. So, you know, when these new streaming services come around, apparently starting this year, if they are good enough.
Oh, man, that's going to break me when there's too many already.
If they're good enough, then I can see.
I'm trying to hold on to Netflix, but I don't want to. It's just like, but they're getting Ghost in the Shell series. Gotta hold on. Take it. No, don't let go.
If they're good enough, I can see people, you know, willing to make the trade-off to get streaming. And then maybe that sort of depresses console sales when the next round of consoles come around. Except for the case of VR, because VR really is much more latency sensitive. And so, yeah, if VR takes off, then, you know, like, physical consoles will still have, you know, something that they can hold on to that streaming won't quite be able to replace yet. Kind of like how it's like arcades, right? Arcades used to be everything, and now it's just like the really big, crazy arcades are the ones that people are like, oh, this is really cool. And I can't see myself owning this thing at home or getting this experience at home.
So. I will always be able to hold out hope that I get my either Identify or the Drill Sergeant game from Kojima Studios.
Oh my gosh, let the dream die.
Punishment. Oh man, if we could buy suits, oh my gosh. That's like, I'd be like, you can't stream this. Bodysuit action. That's how PlayStation wins. Bodysuits.
So, yeah, maybe. Yep, and I think that about covers the news that I remember and didn't write down as well. So I'm truly out of news now.
There was something about GameStop lost more money this quarter or something.
Oh, they went negative. Oh, I was gonna look that up because I don't know what
but yeah, writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
It's over. Impairment. I mean, we already talked about it, but it's like, you know,
They said that if something hadn't happened, then they would have made money, but instead they lost money.
There was some sort of like thing in there about like reimbursement or something. I don't know. It was like a weird thing. I'm guessing that's like when they had that Kingdom Hearts 3 kerfuffle, maybe. But I don't know.
Well, they said there was some sort of like impairment of goodwill.
Yeah, it's like, what is that?
What does that mean? It's like, is that like that suddenly people hated GameStop? Is that what that is?
I mean, that's not sudden.
Yeah. I was like, what happened in the past year that would have changed the way people feel about GameStop? Yes.
Yeah, now it's just turned into the slowly watching it bleed out and die phase, because this is very reminiscent of Blockbuster, Sears, Circuit City, all who came before them. Yes,
all of the things.
Which is like slowly watching a retail company die before your eyes. But I'll be their friend sinner for the liquidation, so you know.
Oh, tell me about it.
All the sales. You know how many PS2 games I'm going to get.
The last gift they'll give me. Sweet, hard to find stuff that will live on in the physical copies that I loot from their corpse.
Oh my.
Oh, that was the other thing about Red Dead. It's like you have to loot from every single person you kill. It's like, it's super annoying, dude. It's like you have to hold down the button on everything to like get it. You can't just like walk around and like pick it up automatically. It's like, nope. So very soon into the game, I was like, you know what? I'm not even bothering looting bodies because it's just too much of a hassle for me. I ain't got time for this. I will loot inside buildings, but I will not loot people because it takes too long. When I kill so many people and there's just bodies everywhere, it's like pass.
Oh my.
It should be a skill you can get for your horse.
You have to go to each body?
Yeah, you have to go to each body, hold down triangle, delete them, and it's just like, why am I doing this? This takes too long.
Oh.
There might be like a challenge or something to like get it, but it's like, dude, that should not be that buried behind skills and crap, so pass. Sorry for bringing up a downer news where you get at the end of the news section, but you know, that's the last thing I remember reading for the podcast, so, you know, whatever. I'll do that. You know?
There
was something about like there was like a false story about LucasArts coming back or something, or Disney.
That was
something,
not real.
Yeah, it was. That's why I said false news. Or it was like people were getting all excited because they like something happened, but then that was like never the case or something. It was weird.
Those people have been working with EA. They manage it. Did you see Xianjin Qi Cha Zuan Liu?
I saw the trailer, yeah.
Man, trailers, they were doing giveaways.
The comments are pretty brutal.
It looks like not.
Everyone's like, man, this is a really good looking PS2 game or something.
Because like, I think MMOs were bigger in Asia. Just like various tons of other MMOs. And so it has like MMO quality graphics, but it's a single player game. Or it's like, when I say MMO, obviously I mean like World of Warcraft. So it's like World of Warcraft quality graphics. Not that art style, but that sort of repeated texture look. And oh, I'm talking old World of Warcraft, not after they revamped the visuals. So,
oh my.
Yeah, it's like doesn't look modern, but well, it's the sixth one. Maybe it's fun.
Now with added fun.
All right. My recording device is running out of power. So check us out, aimlesspodcast.com, to download the podcast. And it's about to get really cool and classy. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, not Facebook, maybe Facebook if you want. You know, if you talk to us first, then we'll know, oh my gosh, there's people on Facebook, and then we'll do that. But yeah, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, aimlesspodcast.com.
See, like John said, check us out online, all the things he just said. Anything to say before we sign off, RPG?
Tentacles.
Anything to say before you sign off, Tropical?
Not tentacles.
All right. So yeah. Aimless Bible Z. Thanks for listening. And until you see or hear from us again, we're now signing off. Tentacles.